Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the epistle lesson. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found all in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is our text. So, an unusual confirmation day. A very light crowd. And yet it still is a good day, a beautiful day, because Christ is here. Because Christ is here. Because his words are here, and where his word is, there he is working. My word does not go out without accomplishing that for which I sent it. That was one of the things I tried to convince you of during our time preparing for questioning. That there is one who wants you to hear. There is one who wants you to listen. How good are you at listening? I've got an idea of what I could give you a grade on listening. I've watched you for a couple of years. But it's something that's very hard to do, isn't it? Our mind gets distracted. That little adage from the movie Up came up during one of our or two of our questioning sessions. Squirrel. And everybody's off in a different tangent. We sometimes blame the speaker, and I take offense at that. But is that the right way to handle it? How is a mind developed? How are we shaped and formed? Yes, the speaker can become boring or pedantic. But when it comes to God's word, the gift you received in your baptism, Logan and Ruby, is the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is never a bad teacher. Rather, he is the teacher par excellence, and he will bless you. Throughout the rest of your life, he will bless you. So that during your life you can and you will have what God desires you to have. As it says in your confirmation verse, Ruby, he won't hold back good things from those who walk in his way. But the thing about it is, this won't be easy. It won't be easy. For as Luther said when he counseled people about baptism, when you baptize a child, you put a target on them. This is one that the devil wants to destroy. This is one that he wants to lead to hell. And that battle goes on not only outside of us, but inside. As Luther says, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, twice we pray against our sinful nature. And so Paul exhorts us today with an imperative: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. An exhortation that will in time create struggle in the midst of your lives and the life of every Christian. We are often tempted to do things our own way. As I have been noting during sermon after sermon, we are constantly told that our future, our destiny, is up to us. What we set our minds to do, our dreams, our desires, whatever we want, we can go for them. And if we are well, and if we believe in ourselves, we'll get them. But what about the mind of Christ? What does he say about this? About our minds, what they want, about our desires, about our dreams even. Jesus in John chapter 5 said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my Father is righteous. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That's the mind of Christ. I don't seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. The mind of Christ. A week or so ago, we heard from Ephesians 5, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Learning his mind about things. That's not what the world that you are walking out into. That's certainly not what goes on at the high school among many. Nor is it the way it works in college or among the world of adults. Sometimes you might think that the world of adults is all much more mature and together. No. We talked about this before. There are commandments there that generally apply to adults more than they do children. Well, it doesn't mean that we can't sin in those ways. But the mind of Christ wants to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. I do not seek my own will. And then Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you see what the Bible teaches? Do you see what Christ and then Paul in two separate passages teach you about this mind of Christ? It is not something that you learn until you're in eighth grade and then set aside. It's probably going to become more of a challenge as you go to high school, and then as you go out into the quote-unquote adult world, and it will become difficult. The world will set up obstacles for those who think like Christ. You have to be a person who makes things happen, even if you have to break a few rules to do it. Otherwise, what will become of you? That's an interesting question. I think it's at the root of a lot of anxiety. What will become of us? Well, what does God say? What's in his mind? What, when he baptized you, did he intend for you to become? That's the best question. The Bible does not understand, or the Bible, we are told by people, doesn't understand what the world is like, what it's really like in the real world. Now, you know that's not true, but the temptation will be there. The Bible doesn't understand what the world is really like. Really? Have you read it? Jesus took on your flesh, my flesh. He humbled himself. And then he took upon himself the sins of all the world, becoming familiar, if you will, with them all, paying the debt for every one of them. He doesn't know what the world is like. No, you don't know what the world is like. And if you're in high school or college, my counsel, my advice is don't ever say it. For there's only one who really knows what this world is like and can tell it the way it is, and that is your Lord Jesus. For he submitted. He who knew no sin became sin. He knows what the world is like. You'll find yourself being more and more tempted to give up on living with the mind of Christ. It's true. Pastors feel that way. Adults feel that way. tempted again and again to compromise. You'll be tempted to forget. And if you stumble badly, well, you'll find yourself just not wanting to hear. But for our time this morning, let us think about what these words mean. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind, the mind of Christ. We can hardly complain about this, except when we consider how people treated Jesus. I mean, who wouldn't want to have the mind of Christ in some respects? I mean, most people can't say too many terrible things about Jesus. Oh, the Jews did. But that goes back to yesterday's sermon. But we ask ourselves, is this mind practical? What is your life going to be about, centered in? Pleasing some boss, making a certain amount of money, having some respect from the world, or is there something more to life? Let this mind be in you. Jesus says in Matthew 6, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Those things are really on the mind of the world today. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Oh yeah, you don't have to turn, but well, I could use a lot of images. You just got to turn on the TV for about 5 minutes and people are worried about those things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What a promise. Get your mind right. Oh, well, I can't do that. No, you can't. And you learn that in catechism. You are not the one who shapes you. You are not your own potter. You are clay. And any religion that would tell you that you are the one that sanctify yourself is lying to you. Why? Because you learned in the catechism that sanctification is an article of faith you can't even see. You can't even see it happening in any real extensive way. You might see glimpses of how your life is changing, but it's a life of faith. It's a mind settled on the words and the promises of God, not on what you see of yourself. If you turn to yourself and try to judge yourself by the words of the law, if you try to find some comfort in the words of the law, you will run away from God. It's a mind settled on the words, the promises of God, the gospel. Made to you when God adopted you into his family, baptizing you. 2005, 2006, long, long ago, giving you a new nature in and through Jesus Christ, washing you of your sins and giving you a new nature. Yes, a new mind, a new heart. Your sins were paid for by Christ, and his grace was applied to in your baptism. When he began a good work in you. What a lovely text from Philippians. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Telos, it means he will complete it. What a lovely text. What a lovely reminder. He promised that he who began this good work would bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the life, the mind of Christ is that you actually confess that your life is not your own. You've been bought with your price. That you now walk in the grace and mercy of God. And he is the one shaping and forming you. You don't follow what the world says when it says you've got to follow your passion, follow your desires, decide all of these things. No, you say, Lord, what should I do? And he'll ask you a simple question like, who are your neighbors and what do they need? And then what gifts have I given you? In your baptism, the Holy Spirit began to sanctify you, bringing you to faith and then enabling you to begin to lead a godly life. A life which God has prepared in advance that we should walk in those good works that he has given us. And those good works begin, obviously, with regard to your nearest neighbor, your family and friends. Loving your father, loving your mother, your brothers and sisters. Those are hard things. That's where faith really, well, the rubber meets the road, we could say. To lead a godly life. That's where we learn about what we are really like in the midst of love. And when we fail, we run to the cross. But what happens throughout this time, as you are in his word, he continues to shape and form you and give you the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ who submitted to the wishes and desires of his Father, and he took on human flesh. He humbled himself and came into this world, humbling yourself. What an odd idea in our world to humble yourself, to confess that God will give you a direction, a path. He has good works prepared in advance that you should walk in them. A life which is rooted in faith. For we believe that he will do, he will create this new life through the means of grace. It's an article of faith. We don't see this. We would like to see it. That's why the world, when it asks you about what you want to become, it says, what do you really want to do? What's your passion? That's a feeling. What do you think you could really do? The question is, what does God want me to do? I have come to do the will of the Father. So what would God have me do? The mind of Christ is that the Father will work through his Son, the greatest work of all. Humble as it looks, it shouts to us the love of God for sinful human men, women, and children. The mind of Christ we see in the most beautiful life that was ever lived. The life of a man on this earth, given for all, that they might be saved. And that's what God wants to make you into, a little Christ, Luther said. The image of God, that is, the image of Christ, is being restored in you. Who lost it? It's the most beautiful life that you can have, that your life is lived in faith, trusting that God will lead and guide you and make of your life something beautiful, good, and true. That's what Paul said a couple of weeks ago in Ephesians 5. Fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. A life that really is honest with itself. We live in the world which lies about itself. Tries to tell everybody how good it is, how proud it is. The child of God doesn't have to lie. No pretense. No pretense to righteousness or goodness, except that which comes from God. And so our mind trusts and believes that as we sit at the feet of Jesus, learning and growing through word and sacrament, as we follow Jesus and walk in the works that he has prepared for us, he will make our lives something beautiful. No matter if the devil, the world, or even our sinful nature tries to convince us otherwise, our heart, our mind, our faith rests on God, our Father, whose love began to restore us to the image of our brother who is Christ. Christ did not give up on his work. And as we walk with him, so too, we do not give up. We don't despair, no matter what we see, no matter how hard it gets in the next number of years. When you're around a group of people who are all biting and salivating over this idea that they are going to be the ones that are going to rule the world, they're going to rule themselves, they're not going to listen to anybody, you will seem so odd, so out of touch. No matter what we see, no matter what we feel, we don't give up in despair. When Christ was hanging on the cross, even there they called for him to give up, to come down. If you are the Son of God, if you are the King of Israel, rather we walk in faith, trusting that God through his word will bless us with the mind of Christ. And we too will be exalted. For we who were buried with Christ in baptism shall be exalted with him. Now that's something to wait for. Again, we live in a world which wants everything right now. Fame and fortune and everything else. See if we can get it quick. Make it easy. But God is doing a work that is eternal. He's putting to death your old sinful nature. In the middle of all of this, that's the battle that's going on even internally. But when he's done, you will be exalted. You will shine like stars, the book of Daniel says in Daniel 12, verse 3. You will be a beautiful bride. You will be blameless, flawless. You will be all that God intended you to be before the fall, when even before the foundation of the world, he set his mind on you. And he was determined that as he chose you in before the foundation of the world, he was going to, through Christ, through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, as he developed the mind of Christ in you, he was going to make you what he always intended you to be. So he would lead you through this fallen world by his word and spirit. And at the end, you would shine. You would be beautiful, glorious, for you are his bride. Psalm 84, verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." What a beautiful text. It reminds us that as we walk in this world, we need protection. We also need mercy and grace. But Ruby, he promises never to hold back any good thing from those who walk in faith and mercy and grace. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." What a lovely text. He doesn't say, "Well, maybe I might be there. I could be there. You should be afraid sometimes." No, he says, "Be of good courage." I say it over and over again from this pulpit, that Christians are people who are brave, who can go and face even pestilence without fear, not because they want to get it, not because they're foolish, but because of the love of God which is in their hearts and the need of their neighbor and their trust. Joshua was about ready to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And one day, Logan, you'll be a dad. And you'll be doing the same thing. In a smaller way. Be thankful for that. The Lord has much to say to you as you walk with him. His word, as Jesus says, is truth. When Jesus prayed for you in John chapter 17, praying for those who have come to believe through the words of the apostles, and that's what happened to you. When he prayed for you, he prayed that God the Father would sanctify you in the truth, by the truth. Thy word is truth, he says. And it's through the word that we receive the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.